You know, for some reason, all morning I was just thinking, oh my goodness, how blessed we are to have Marcia at the keyboard and Gene at the piano. Just to me, that I thought I could be blessed just by this listening, not even singing. It just sounded so good this morning. So thank you, ladies, for that. We're just blessed to have that. There was a time we just barely could get by with any music, so it's just a blessing, and we're so thankful, so very thankful. Well, this morning I like to talk on a Labor Day message, but I've never spoken on a Labor Day weekend, and I struggled with it just a little bit more than my usual, and I thought, oh my goodness, Labor Day. So I thought, well, I'm putting together kind of a little bit of a, I called it a hybrid message that kind of like has a little history, a little of the word, and a little bit of a motivational speech. So it might be just a little bit different this morning, but you know, that's how we are. And I've sat in congregations for years and years, and you know, there'll be a part of the message that someone will say, oh, I really got something from that. Another person will say, I got something from the other part. Another person will say, I got something from this part. So we're going to read our text in the middle of the message this morning, but hopefully you'll get something from this morning. I worked on a hybrid motivational Labor Day weekend speech, and I remember, speaking of that, I remember I was so blessed when Dave Love brought forth a sermon on Solomon, and I had thought about the end of life, Solomon's life before. No, this isn't in my notes. I had thought about that message before, but he said something that, I mean, if I wouldn't have been out of order, I think I would have jumped over the pew. It just hit me, and a light went off in my head, and I said, oh my goodness, I loved it, just loved it. How Solomon was given his, at the end of his life, was given the things that he had done that wasn't so pleasant and wasn't good because he got away from God and he was serving idols and things like that. But he said it best, but when at the end he was given his testimony, and we believe, and I believe along with him, that Solomon came back to the Lord because we don't tell our dark, deep, dark secrets unless there's a testimony or something for the Lord. And it was a little lengthier and a little deeper than that. But my point is, you know, we all get something from it. So hopefully we'll go with this. And so, you know, Labor Day is a weekend. Of course, we're on the weekend. Labor Day is tomorrow. And a lot of times, you know, we think of our forefathers and we start there. We think of, you know, a couple hundred years ago at the founding of our nation. But I found this very interesting when I was searching and researching for this message that long before our forefathers and our, you know, Columbus, he sailed the ocean blue. And when did he found America? 1514. Thank you. I knew it was a long time ago. Thanks for helping me out, Dave. But back in the early 1600s, those from Europe who colonized America had different visions at that time of what they thought this nation should be. So to the south, one of the settlements by Europeans was what is now known as Jamestown, Virginia. And we're talking now early 1600s. You can still visit that settlement today, and it's a beautiful and well-kept memorial to the experience of those first few settlers. But what few people knew that the settlement at that time was a failure for years. For 40 years, the settlers there were almost entirely dependent upon England for their survival. And there were two basic reasons for this. The first reason was, at that time, God wasn't really important to them. There was only one church, and it was rarely attended. And a second is, the settlers there, they had this idea, they were, you know, just come over, we're talking, what, 400 years ago, they came over thinking that work was kind of low, maybe degrading, and they didn't really have to work. They thought the rich and the powerful wouldn't stoop to dirtying their hands or working as common laborers. They thought that their duties was really far and above what the lower class should be. So in fact, this idea of a powerful and privileged class of individuals who didn't need to work was reinforced by the teachings of the church of that very early time. And there wasn't a lot of them. There were just a few settlers in the early 1600s. But we're going to finish out this thought with this. Many of the original settlers at Jamestown were aristocrats of the favored classes. Thus, they were accustomed to expecting others to do work for them. That might have had worked had there been enough for the common tasks to get everything done, the farming done, to get food and supply, to get work done, but there weren't enough. And so as a result, little got done and food was scarce. So, you know, as we think of Labor Day, we realize now, years later, they realized that labor in America and our forefathers were hard workers. And Americans became very hard workers, and they wanted to excel, and they wanted to accomplish things, and they wanted to get ahead, and they wanted to work, and they wanted to care for their family. So that was hundreds of years ago, but as we all of a sudden we began to have new settlers, and those that came over in the Mayflower and the Pilgrims, and those that were at that time, they were godly people, and they were so thankful that they could come to a land that they could labor and they could, fulfill their worshiping needs and fulfill their godly needs. And I think Dennis said it pretty good this morning that it's kind of sad that, oh my goodness, I can't hardly believe that in this day and age we're getting so far away from, our leaders are getting so far away from our forefathers. So we our Labor Day means something. It means something. But before we go on a little more, I want to say that in the on a Labor Day weekend, which we should enjoy, but Labor Day has been around for a long time. The first Labor Day parade was on September 5th, 1882, in New York City. 20,000 workers carried banners that said, "Labor creates wealth. 8 hours for work, 8 hours for sleep, and 8 hours for recreation." Well, I understand the sleep and the work, but I'm not sure about if I understand the 8 hours for recreation. But at that time in 1882, that's what it was thought of. So this was the desired situation for all the people. But after the parade, when the picnics were over, there was Irish stew, bread, and apple pie. That's still famous today. And the day ended in fireworks. But the idea spread across the country. Cities all over was having Labor Day. And in 1894, Congress made Labor Day a federal holiday. So, you know, there's dignity in work. There's respect in work. But you know what? Sometimes work is work. Sometimes work is hard. So, you know, when you get a Labor Day and you get a day off, or you get, in a chance to relax, you've earned it. And for those that have retired, they've worked for many, many years. To my life and in my mind, they've earned it. And today a lot of people want things without earning them. But earning comes from work, and work comes from earning. It's just a natural cause of life. And so I'm thankful that we have the opportunity in the land of America to work. Some say they can't find work. I can't get out of work. Some say they can't find a job. I'd like to get out of my job. there's jobs all over. I don't know how this happened. I mean, between my 11th and 12th grade high school, going back that far, I was working as an assistant carpenter's helper. And I worked the whole summer, assistant carpenter helper. And, it's just from that time on, it's just like, other than when I did get laid off twice in my life and was on unemployment twice. But you know what? Before it ran out, I was back to work. And so, there for those that want to accomplish something and want to work, it is there. But there's that's a good thing. That's a good thing, even though it's very wearisome sometimes. But this day is set aside, Labor Day, to celebrate the value and dignity of work. We might not be thinking of it like this weekend, but I think most of us get some time off, and I'm thankful that I do get time off this week and tomorrow, because in the human service field that I've been in for a long, long time, I've worked many, many holidays, and sometimes that's been tough. I had to work, I think last year I had to work on Christmas morning or New Year. Christmas and Christmas morning. Now this year is different because thankfully the calendar rolls ahead. The year before I did pretty well because I got a vacation. Last year I had some really tough spots I had to be. This year falls good for me. But, you know, no matter what job you have, you know, there's lows and there's highs. There's ups and downs and there's tough spots. And, you know, sometimes people don't want to work through those times. But you know what? As a laborer, as a person who's working, sometimes you have to. But that's part of the job. A lot of young people, they're looking for work, but they're looking for, you know, an easy job. I'm not sure if there's too many easy jobs. Maybe Janine has an easy job. I don't know. She doesn't sound like it. You know, work is work. Work is work. But you know what? It's better than idleness. Idleness, sometimes the scriptures talk about idleness some, but idleness brings all kinds of trouble with it. And sometimes it even brings poverty. Sometimes, you know, just there's not idleness in not working is just generally not a good thing. And some people, it's beyond their control. Sometimes it's physical. Sometimes it's mental. And, you know, there's reasons. I've been in life long enough to know, you know, there's just some situations that are out of our control. But for those that can, it's a wonderful thing. And so now I would like to read our scripture that is, I find very unusual. And our scripture is found in Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 6 says, "Go to the ant, consider her ways and be wise, which, having no captain, overseer, or ruler, provides her supplies in the summer and gathers her food in the harvest." Now, Proverbs is a book of wisdom, and a lot of times they take a lot of words and they pull it down to a few words. A lot of times they take a thought and they take an absolutely amazing thought and they focus and narrow it down to maybe just a couple of words. So when I'm reading in Proverbs and it's talking about the labor, it's almost surprising to me, and I'll tell you why, that the scripture says, "Go to the ant." I mean, if I was writing this, I mean, John, it's not up to me. But if I was writing this, I would say, go to the white Siberian Belgium tiger. Go to the tiger. You know? No, Solomon says, go to the ant. Now, there's reasons for this. But, you know, think about it. He says, go to the ant. So what about, that was a good picture on the front of your paper. If you look at that ant, you know, it's almost like the ant's strong. I want to tell you a fact. The ant is one of the strongest creatures on the earth. It can lift 50 times its own weight. Have you ever seen an ant with a great big piece of bread or seen some kind of food or seen them with a twig? I mean, these little guys are so small, and yet they walk across. They're powerful. They're strong. They're 50 times stronger than humans. And here's a fact. If I was 50 times stronger than I am, and 50 times strong as an ant, I could lift up the Sonic, the Chevy Sonic that I drive. I could lift it up over my head, but I can't. And so there's a reason that Solomon, in all of his wisdom, and he wrote most of Proverbs, Solomon says, go to the ant, because the ant works diligently. It seeks out food. It searches. And I happened to be at work yesterday, which is unusual for me on Saturday, but I was there. You know, so I was looking, and I'm watching these little ants, you know, and they're all over. And they're looking, and they're going, and they stop, and they're looking, searching out food. But once it finds food, it can go directly back home. Straight back home. Now, how in the world, this little thing with a mind, I mean, its head is how big? How big is its mind? And yet, it can search out, it can think, it can make a home, it can make an anthill, it protects its home, and even when it finds food, it can go straight back, and it even leaves a scent so that the other ants know where to go to get this food supply. Do you know why? Because ants go to picnics. Ants go to picnics. I just threw that in there. For you, Marilyn, I threw that in there for you. Ants go to picnics because they're looking for food. And they go back in, they go back home. But see, God said, look, go to the ant. See, go to the ant because consider her ways and be wise. So really, the ant is very wise. And it's, you know, they work and they provide and they supply for the summer and they get ready for the winter. Because you won't see ants out on ice. You just won't find them. So they've prepared. They have definitely prepared. So, you know, so we find that on Labor Day, I was thinking in my line of work, I think of goals a lot. I think of goals. And in our life, sometimes we have to have the scripture says to have a vision. And sometimes that kind of, in our day and age, and in my mind, it kind of translates to a goal. And everyone needs a vision. Everyone needs a goal. A goal or a vision is a picture of a future state that does not now exist. So a goal is something you have not accomplished, but you're willing to accomplish it, and you're setting out to accomplish it, and you're going to make, no matter how hard you have to work at it, you're going to get there. And usually it results in happiness. Usually it results in contentment. Usually it results, it has good results. And you know, I remember I'm one of the odd ones that started out. No, don't tell me. Don't listen. I remember starting college when I was 29 years old. And the reason I started college was I didn't want to work in a factory. I'd worked in a factory in General Electric for two full years. Then I had moved. Then I worked in a wood mill because I had some woodworking experience. And I worked there for 8 years. And I thought, this isn't what I want to do for the rest of my life. So I started on a mission. I started with a vision and a goal. And at 29 years old, I started a community college, which I went on to another college. But I remember at 29 years old, I thought, what do I want to be? I want to be a police officer. I want to work in the criminal justice system. I want to put people in handcuffs. I want to put them in the back of a patrol car. Say, you're going down to the local county jail. We're not feeding you nothing. Sorry. You know what? When you get me, you get me. So I started this college course, and at 29 years old, I got one through one semester, and I realized I can't do this because I'm 29. And I found out that at 30 years old, most of your career, chances are going down the tubes. There's something about the 30 years that old that you can't get into some correctional facilities. You can't get into some different things. You just can't get there. So I thought, I'll take these credits and I'll put them over toward the human services. There should be some job opportunities there. So that's what I did. And so I continued on and got an associate degree. Then I got into human services, and then my place of employment wanted me to continue my further education because they wanted me to become a manager. So they sent me back to school. So here I was now in my late 30s going back to college. So I went to college. I've never told this. This is new. Oh, by the way, I'll get back to this. But remember how I said we were drawing people from the north and the south and the east and the west the last time I was here? Same thing's occurring. I just wanted you to know it's still happening. We have people from the south, people from the east. Yeah, just people from the east. Yeah, see, it's hallelujah, it's happening. But anyway, oh yeah, where was I? 29. So anyway, I'm up in my 30s. So there I start school and I continue my education, but I was working. I was raising a family and I was working full time. So I remember this one day. Now, I had a goal. I'm talking about vision, but being motivated. Some people say, I can't do it, whatever. I don't mean just college. It can be whatever, you know. Say, it's very difficult. Well, You got to set your mind to, this is what I want bad enough. I didn't want to work in factory all my life. So I says, going to school is going to help me with some, even though I didn't know the future, I knew that it would help me somehow stay out of the factory work and into something else. And you know, you want to find something that you don't mind doing. You don't mind doing, because you're going to be working for a lot of years. Now I've worked for a lot of years in this field, and it's getting, you know, it gets wearisome after 24 years. But at 39 years old, I went to my director, and I said to her, her name was Carolyn. She was tops in the agency at that time. I said, Carolyn, I said, I'm weary. I'm just absolutely weary. I said, I can't do this anymore. I know that you wanted to and I wanted to, but I've been doing this for a year and a half now, and I just physically, emotionally, I'm just at the end of my strength. I just can't do this anymore. So I said, how about if we set about, and so this is, I said in my mind and said to her, I said, how about if you give me a year off from this? I need to take a year, and then I'll go back and I'll try to finish this out. And she said something to me that surprised me, and I thought to myself, wow, this is really the Lord. You know, God doesn't leave you no matter what you do. No matter what you know, they can be little decisions or little goals. They don't have to be huge. I just happened to think of that one to tell you, because I thought it was interesting that at that moment, Carolyn said to me, she said, Rick, we asked you to do this, so we're going to help you do this. She said, you work 5 days a week. She said, I want you, as long as you get your work done, I want you to take 1 hour for the next year. I want you to take 1 hour at the end of every shift, and I want you to go to your office, and I want you to make sure everything's settled and done, and I want you to do college work on work time at the end of every shift for 1 hour for the next year so you can finish this course and this demand that we've asked you to do. Never in my wildest dreams would have I imagined that they're going to pay me and allow me to bring my college work to work. Now, I've never heard of that. If you've heard of that, you've heard of something I've never heard of that being done. But it happened to me. And I can tell you the miracles and the things that God opened up. And God, that was a God thing, because I did want to finish, but I just needed a boost. And that was my goal. That was my vision. I wanted to finish. And they wanted me to finish too. So they allowed me to come to work. And I had, at that time, I had my attaché case. And I came to work. And at the end of every, 7 hours later, I was opening up my case. Now, you know, Hama, is that sound like the Lord? I mean, come on. Does that work in the workplace? No, not usually. But you see, no matter what you do, and you know, we all have a story. We all have a wonderful things that have happened to us. And that's why I enjoy listening to others. But we all have a story. But you know, we've got to pursue it. And God will help us. And God will make a way when there doesn't seem to be a way. So stay on your trail. Stay on your goals. Stay with your vision. And when it gets tough, I had a coach one time that used to tell me, when the tough get going, the going gets tough. That was in ninth grade when I took cross country. Then I went out and into schooling, and I had to drop that. But that was pretty cool. Hey, pretty cool that when you can remember that far back. Isn't our memories wonderful? When the going gets tough, the tough get going. Come on. That was in ninth grade. But I'm not a genius. All right. Don't quit. 80% of success is something that's very cool to say. It's just showing up. 80% of success is just showing up. We don't always feel like, you know, continuing. We don't feel like sometimes we can make it. We don't feel like this, we're going to get through the task or the chore. I remember it was a few weeks ago. I came home from my 40-hour shift, and there was an investigation going on, and I was grilled, drilled, and fried, and it wasn't involving me, but it was involving my knowledge of something that was occurring and something that they needed from me as a coordinator of where I worked. I came home so weary. I had missionaries in my house, and I felt so bad because I was so wiped. There wasn't any juice in the battery. I had to walk through my living room and go to bed. I could not. I couldn't even visit. You know, I couldn't visit with the people I wanted to visit with. You know, sometimes it's hard. Sometimes, and you know, all of you, I'm sure, have been there, where there is just times. Work is hard. But there's a, you know, it's part of life. It's part of our life. And, you know, someday we can be building a garage, you know, like some of, you know, someday we can retire and just get up on ladders and build garages. Someday we'll be able to have a hobby. Someday, Marilyn, I'll be able to get, and Lonnie, I'll be able to get my metal detector out finally. I don't have time to do too many hobbies. I want a hobby. Oh, I'm sorry. That wasn't in my notes either. But, you know, when you have a goal and you have a vision, let me tell you something. At the end of life, if you were to study the book Life, and I'm kind of forgetting the name of that book, but Death and Dying by, it's almost coming to me, starts with an R. Anyway, Death and Dying, you know, they talk about inventory. When you look back over your life, you're going to have an inventory. You're going to say, am I satisfied? Am I happy with what I've done? And, you know, so you know, we want to be able to at least look back and say, well, you know, I'm quite happy. Some things I'm not happy with. All of us have spots that we're not happy with. But, you know, overall, we want to be able to look back and say, I'm pleased. And that's, you know, that's called inventory, looking back. But here's a quote that I just found recently, and I thought it was so good, because it says, the goals... I'm going to read it twice because it's hard to comprehend, but it's interesting. It says, the goals we refuse to chase don't disappear. They become ghosts that haven't. I'm sorry. They become ghosts that haunt us. I won't tell you. My eyeglasses are in Wigtons right now. These are my old script. I wasn't going to tell you, but now I've told you. Now the secret's out because I couldn't. This is my old script. My good glasses are in Wigtons. All right. Well, I'm going to start over. The goals we refuse to chase don't disappear. They become ghosts that haunt us in the quiet moments of our day. Now let's look at that again. The goals we refuse to chase don't disappear. They become ghosts that haunt us in the quiet moments of our day. You know, it's sad that some don't have, you know, a vision or a goal, but we need that. Abraham Lincoln is, you know, all of us talk about him once in a while. Do you know that man failed many, many times? He couldn't even become a senator. He had many failures, but at 52 years old, he was in the White House because he refused to give up. He knew what his heart was. He knew what he wanted for the people. And, you know, we have amazing, amazing examples. In the Word, we have amazing examples from each other. And we need to latch on to that, and we need to grasp that. Labor Day is a day we should relish and be thankful for. I'm going to pretty much wrap this up with this. Everyone who has ever had success has had circumstances that were unfavorable to overcome and to deal with. Now, one of the problems and one of the reasons we get depressed is because we feel we are the only ones in that situation. We feel that if circumstances were just right, then we could have been more successful. If circumstances had not been so unfavorable, if there had not been so many things against us, we feel that somehow life could have turned out different. So we don't want to blame circumstances. You know, our life is dependent on our choices, on our motivation, our initiative. And even as Christians, as the Lord will help you, the Lord will help me, the Lord will help us. And you know, on that day, even after 6 days of labor, the Lord looked, and it says he rested. Was God tired? No. God doesn't get tired, but he rested in that he looked upon his work and said, I'm finished. It's done. It's over. My work's accomplished, and now I can take a breather and I can look and I can behold the wonders. And the scripture says he looked and said, it is good. It's kind of like a painter. When a painter, you know, is working on his artistry and working on a photo or working on what he's drawing, when he gets all done, he looks. And now he can just stop when he's all done and he signs his name in the right little corner. He can look and say, wow, look what I've accomplished. Look what I've done. It's pleasant to my eye. And there's nothing wrong with that. So whatever you've done, accomplished or haven't accomplished, go to the ant, go to the word. Know that God will help us in everything we've done. And you know what? We can then say, at the end of the day, I'm pleased. I've done all I can do. Let's bow our heads. Lord, I thank you, Lord, for this morning. I thank you for each individual that's here this morning. And oh God, we pray that, Lord, even though some of this was outside the realm of what our normal, message would be, God, we pray that you would give us an initiative and a motivation and a strength to accomplish those things that we want to accomplish, to have a vision and accomplish. And you know, every single one of us, Lord, have different thoughts and different things in life. And they might be small things, but they're important to you. They're important to us. We pray that you would give us the strength to accomplish it and give us the strength and help us to be able to rest in knowing that we've done all we can do. And God, we just thank you, Lord, that for the anointing. We thank you for 1 John 2:27 that says the anointing abides in us and it's in our hearts and it's in our lives. It's inside of us. The anointing that you give us because you are in us and you give us the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And we just thank you. We pray that, Lord, as we go from this place, that you'll dismiss us not from this place, but not from your presence, but from this place. We just pray, God, that you'll just anoint us, Lord, and give us everything that we need. Lord, you said in Solomon that you're altogether lovely. We just thank you, Lord, that you are all to us. You are our A to Z. You are our Alpha and Omega, our beginning and end. God, we just pray that you'd help us, Lord, to just flourish in things and help those that are struggling. God, we just pray that you'd help them in every way because, God, we as humans and as fleshly people, we have struggles. We pray that you'll give us the strength and know that we can look to you, we can come to you, and your spirit will just help us. Because you are there. We thank you, Lord, for your precious word. We thank you for the role of the ant. We thank you, Lord, that we can glean from it. We pray that you'll just bless each one, Lord, this week, especially tomorrow. And just we just thank you, Lord. We just bless your holy name. In Jesus' name, amen.